Jack peered around the bend in the road, squinting his ruby-red eyes to slits as he listened hard for the sound of pursuit. All he could hear was the rasp of his own breath. The deep forest's oppressive and airless stillness pressed against the sides of his head. It felt like his ears were plugged up with cotton. The albino shifted the colt python to his left hand and wiped the sweat on his right palm on his pants leg. His mission wasn't to fight a rear-guard delaying action, but to verify that the carnies had abandoned their wags and come after them on foot, and to try to get a head count if he could. Jack had been the natural choice for the job. He was the fastest runner, but he was nothing compared to the mountain lion, who sat on his back legs on the road beside him, its huge head cocked, its round ears upright and at full attention. Jack looked in the direction of the lion's eyes.
Only 12?
The lion gently placed its huge paw on his shoulder. They looked deeply into each other's eyes. So many words passed soundlessly between them, and Jack knew that it was time for them to part.
They come. We go.
Jack holstered his hand blaster. He ran soundlessly up the road, sprinting on his toes and kicking high. The lion loped easily along a few steps behind. When Jack rounded a turn and glanced back over his shoulder, the great cat was gone. Simply gone. There was no crashing noise as it plunged deep into the tangle of deadfall. No twinkling dust trail spiraling up into the slanting sunlight that pierced the forest canopy. No goodbye.
Dad, it's Jack!
Ryan stopped jogging and turned in the middle of the road, as did the others, watching as the albino raced up to him out of breath. The lion was nowhere to be seen. The one-eyed man said nothing about the mutant. He had more important questions and listened grim-faced to the answers Jack gave. They were pretty much what he'd expected. The carny chillers were still pursuing them. They were on foot and about a quarter of a mile behind. There were about 12 in the band. Carter had three choices. He could lead the companions over the mountain at top speed and keep on running, hoping the cold hearts would eventually wear down and abandon the chase. He couldn't count on that, though, especially with Amagus giving the orders. There was also the problem of his not knowing the terrain. With a full-out run, there'd be no time for wreck, and he could get his people boxed in. Permanently. Or they could find the highest ground and spread out to defend it. This would work if they had enough ammo to do the job, and enough time to reach the peak. Ryan couldn't tell how far off the summit was because of the densely packed trees. It was possible that the pursuit could overrun them before they reached it. Or, finally, they could locate a suitable place for an ambush and bushwhack the murdering bastards as they came up the road. That seemed the best course of action. At the very least, it would reduce their numbers, and the massed fire might scatter or even turn the rest back.
Okay, let's move.
They jogged in a single file along the steeply angled track, which wound back and forth through the clustered trunks. There was dust underfoot and the stifling heat, but there were no signs of life other than the trees. Here and there, shafts of light speared through breaks in the canopy, spotlighting the blue-gray, bone-dry litter of fallen needles and limbs. As he trotted up the road, a chill passed down Ryan's spine. He felt a sudden tension at the back of his head, as if the skin had drawn drum tight. It was the same feeling he'd experienced when they uncovered the death pit in the Namelessville. In the grim, eerie forest, he sensed the presence of the dead. With an effort, he shook off the sensation. He had more than enough flesh and blood trouble on his plate without worrying about legions of ghosts. JB ran behind him, straining to pull along the rope Doc. After Doc came Dean and Lilu, then Mildred and Christy. Jack brought up the rear. Ryan dropped back to jog alongside the armorer.
Gotta quickly find a place to chop down these bastards.
Any place along here'll do. Split up on either side of the road. Sandwich them.
Hey, stop, people. This looks like a good spot for an ambush. We let them get to the straight part, then crossfire them from behind. If we work fast, we can keep them from getting to cover in the trees.
They'll be tracking us for sure. We've left our tracks all over the damn place.
By the time they figure out we've doubled back on them, they'll be caught in the kill zone.
He then split up the companions, sending Dean, Lilu, Mildred, and Christy to the left side of the road. He led Jack, JB, and Doc to the right, into the stand of trees on the inside of the bend. Puffs of talc-fine dust rose like smoke into the shafts.
Lilu, shit.
He watched Jack and JB slide belly down in the litter beside the dark trunks. The armorer made Doc lie down beside him, then followed Jack's example and pulled some of the crumbling forest litter over them both, creating a double-wide hide. Before burrowing into the deadfall himself, Ryan carefully placed the Steyr longblaster behind the tree. The range was going to be too close to use it, and the bolt action was way too slow for the shootout he envisioned. The idea was to keep the chillers from reaching cover. That meant cyclic rate. He dropped the SIG's magazine into his palm, making sure it was topped off. Then he set out a second and a third full mag in front of him, hoping to hell he wouldn't have to reach for them.